The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
And that would make me Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our humble bunker, everybody. If you listened to last Sunday's show, and of course today is the 13th of November, Sunday, when we are recording this, if you listened to the show we did last Sunday, my voice sounded entirely different. And I'm not sure yours sounded a whole lot better, honey.
No, we had a very kind suggestion. Someone who said, you know, audio control studios are usually very dry because they've been dehumidified. So try hanging some wet towels to alleviate the coughing.
And, of course, we followed that advice. And now throughout our home are wet towels hanging about and here throughout the, you know, just hanging from the ceiling along with the bats.
I did thank the person who wrote for the suggestion, but to be truthful, our audio control booth is the guest bedroom in our home. So.
But also to be truthful, it's very dry.
Well, it has been, but you know, it really was the fact that we were both trying to get past colds. So that
well, that,
was
that
really
and the truth is, we're both heavy smokers.
I don't mind the taste.
Well, I'm heavy at least. No smoker though.
I've
never smoked in my life.
I
know you did for that one play.
That one play, yes. I don't know what happened. Somebody had a glitch with the download last week and got to the point where we were talking about that play that in which I performed in college and needed closure to the story. And there was nothing we could do because the file had uploaded correctly. So anyway, well, welcome to the program. And thank you for inviting us inside your audio device or computer, wherever we happen to
be
at the moment.
We're inside your head. We're inside your head.
Enjoying a good, a nice weekend here. A little blustery, but weather-wise, temperature-wise anyway, here in the central United States, fairly pleasant.
It's 70 degrees today. It's a lovely November. I mean, come on. Next week, we're just 2 weeks away, a little less than 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving.
Yes.
You and I are heading out next week, so there will be no show. We're
going
to have to put up some archives or, you know, record shows next week or something before we leave.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that, but yeah, because next Sunday we will be in Indiana, and the following Sunday we'll be returning from Indiana. Now, we may be back, or we should be back early enough the following Sunday, which would be November the 27th.
We could record a show on Monday if we don't do it on Sunday.
Well, that's
but
true.
We definitely,
yes.
I think we are going to end up missing a week, which means that you may get a lousy clip show. You may get.
Do you remember that time when we and then suddenly a clip from an old show? Yeah. So anyway, well, today, November 13th, a lot has happened over the past week.
Well, we had 11-11-11 on Friday.
Yes, we survived that. We also survived 11-9-11.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
We did. We're still here.
YU-55 missed us, and no massive earthquakes or
anything.
Didn't
even hit the moon, which some people had, you know, theorized, okay, it's going to miss us, but maybe it'll hit the moon. You know what? We are still here. Praise God. His timing is such that we are, we're still here. He still plans on coming back. I can guarantee you that.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I think if when we mention these things, and we hope that when we do, we're not elevating your stress level or
coming off like, you know, camping people.
Right, exactly. Because there are far too many people on the internet already who look at these things and yell, the sky is falling. And we saw that with, you know, Comet Elenine. We saw it to a lesser extent with YU-55, the meteor that just missed us, the asteroid that just missed us.
You know, the elevation of fear has been pretty high since, frankly, since 9/11.
Yeah. Yes. And there are folks who, I think, enjoy that elevated level of adrenaline that comes from being afraid all the time. But we are not given a spirit of fear. That is scripture. We are not given a spirit of fear. If you're afraid, you need to pray, because that is not a spirit that is coming from the Lord.
Now, just so you understand, if you are afraid, that is also just a human response.
That's true.
It does not mean that you have a spirit inside you.
No. Well, thank you for pointing that out. But those who constantly seek that feeling and that adrenaline rush, step back and smell the roses. The Lord put us on this earth to enjoy his creation, even in its fallen state. We understand that we are temporarily under the dominion of the enemy, but he didn't put us on planet Earth to constantly, to basically wall ourselves off inside a compound and wait for something bad to happen.
No, he did not. And I really praise the Lord for the internet, because I believe that many of you who listen, you may not have a whole lot of human contact, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And that's no aspersion in any way, shape, or form, because I don't have a whole lot of human contact. Many of us don't anymore. We have become more and more isolated from our physical neighbors. Many of us don't feel comfortable anymore or ministered to in a church setting.
Yeah.
So I think that way too many of us, we go to work, we sort of wander through the day like a zombie, and then return home to a place that feels safe and secure. And the internet, sadly, because of that, has become our family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our neighborhood.
A virtual church.
Yeah. And when the internet is filled with fear, then it's understandable that many of us would start to feel a little bit nervous and maybe afraid, especially when that fear comes in the language of doom. Mm-hmm. There are people, sadly, who get off on doom. They
right.
really, really look forward to, the S hitting the fan
right.
moment.
Yes. And I think that's more often seen on non-Christian forums, like Godlike Productions, for one, where people just enjoy getting their doom on.
Yeah, they do. And honestly, many of them, I think, realize that they're on there. It's almost like a game.
Yeah. Who's going to be the first one to call the doom?
Yeah.
You only have to be right once to win.
Yeah.
Well, there have been some really evil things that have happened.
Stopped clock is right twice a day.
That's true. Before we get into this, I do want to say, we had a wonderful church service this morning led by the youth in our church.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up.
And I just want to, point out that it was really wonderful to see. The message this morning, first of all, that there were a lot of kids involved in a church, and this is a relatively small congregation.
Maybe 100 people.
Yeah. And church was filled this morning, which was nice. But there were a lot of kids who were involved. And when I say kids, everywhere from maybe except for the one young lady who was with the praise band, who looked like she was maybe three. And she was singing her heart out.
She was.
That was a joy.
She really was. That was wonderful.
But then a young man who...
He was maybe 16.
Yeah, probably high school age,
yeah.
who gave a wonderful message on how many kids, once they reach college age, will fall away from church and never return. And the odds are not good, 75%. And he said, I think this is because while we come to school, Sunday school, every Sunday, we're told that what we're being taught is true, but most of the time we're not taught why it's true. And then he went on to give examples, did a wonderful message of apologetics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he wasn't very smooth in his delivery. He was clearly nervous.
But he made his point.
He made his point. And it was a joy to see a young man, maybe 16, 17 years old, talking apologetics, why we believe what we believe. And we went up and told him so afterward, as did a number of other adults mm-hmm. in the church. And we, as many of the kids as we could see, we told them what a great job they did. But this young man was a wonderful, it was just wonderful to see. Because I told him, I said, I didn't get to where you are now at your age until I was in my late 30s. And the odds of somebody in their late 30s finally coming to that understanding of the historical evidence for the truth claims of Christianity are very, very small, which was the whole point of his message.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
3/4 of us fall away from the church after we turn 18 and never come back. Thankfully, God was patient with me, used a board across the side of my head, a spiritual board, and that led me to Lee Strobel's work, The Case for Christ, Josh McDowell's excellent work, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and other sources. And while apologetics is not my ministry, there's some great resources out there that we can point you to if you like. But this young man has already found them, and he's barely driving. And praise God for it.
And you know who is a wonderful apologist? Chris Putnam.
Yes. Yes. LogosApologia.com. Yeah. Check out, or is it .org?
I'll
check real quick. But
we will link to that in the show notes.
Yes.
Chris Putnam. I don't know if he's finished his degree yet or not, but he is going to school out east, and I can't remember the school right offhand. Sorry about that.
LogosApologia.org is his website, and we'll put a link in the show notes at PIDradio.com. But apologetics are key because our kids are going off to school and hearing from all of these alleged experts who teach them that science and philosophy and comparative religion show that there is no absolute truth. And that if there is a God, many different religions know him by different names, and all paths lead to the same end, which, of course, is not true.
No.
So this young man is already...
It's a deadly lie.
Yes, this young man has already grokked to that, and he is hopefully will serve as an example to the other kids in the youth group there. And I'm going to talk to Pastor and see if maybe we can get involved in teaching some more apologetics classes to the kids.
That would be wonderful.
So anyway, I just wanted to pass that on. That is just a wonderful way to start our Sunday morning.
I was
morning.
Very happy, too, that he included references to DNA and the miracle of life.
Yes.
And the very fact that if you take a look at life itself, that there is no way that it just lucked into existence.
Mm-hmm. It takes a lot more faith to believe that nothing created something all by itself. For many, many years, a big lump of nothing lie out there and suddenly willed itself into existence.
Yep. That's a pretty silly equation there.
Yeah.
Nothing plus nothing equals something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any high school math student would tell you that that's just not going to work. So, but a lot of things this week, probably the most high profile, just want to touch on this briefly, and that is the story that's come out of Penn State this week. Penn State University.
You spent some time today reading that grand jury indictment.
Yeah, the grand jury report is a fairly quick read. It is detailed, not overtly graphic, but detailed enough. There are eight victims who accused former defensive coordinator for the college football team, Jerry Sandusky, of everything from improper contact, improper sexual contact, to just out-and-out rape. There was a graduate assistant with the program named Mike McQuarrie, who has come under heavy criticism for witnessing Coach Sandusky. And this was when Sandusky had already retired, but he retired with an emeritus status at the university, which basically gave him full access, a parking place, mm-hmm. an office mm-hmm. on the university, in the shower in the football complex, engaging in... Well, sex.
He was on top of a 10-year-old.
Yeah, 10-year-old boy pinned against the wall and engaging in anal sex. Mm-hmm. And his reaction has been criticized. He called his father. His father had him come over. They called Coach Joe Paterno, who was fired this week by the trustees at Pennsylvania State University. And they went to a university official who oversaw the campus police. So this university official who was responsible for campus police should have known mm-hmm, that he was mm-hmm. That a crime was being reported to him and then notified the campus police and did not.
Yeah, yes, I know that. But I got to tell you, I've told you this, I have such a problem with that GA's reaction.
Yes. Instead of stepping in and saying, hey, wait a second here, we've got a 58-year-old man, allegedly.
Decking the 58-year-old man that I'm sure he could have taken.
Sure.
And then, you know, bundling
because
up that
graduate,
10-year-old in some clothes. And without no more shower and get him out of there and see if there's any kind of evidence.
That's right. Because now the physical evidence is long since gone.
Oh, yeah.
This incident took place, if I recall correctly, 2002. But again, he's just one of eight victims named. Well, not named, but eight victims identified in the grand jury report.
Sandusky is reported to have still been participating in recruitment.
For
behavior,
the university.
Going
right.
to high schools and speaking in private
right.
to was, high school students.
That's correct. There was a report from South Carolina that this year or last year, that he was still going out and recruiting for the university. So while the university effectively ended his career in 1999 at the age of 55, when he was told that he would not be, because for many years he was considered the heir apparent to Joe Paterno. He was the architect of Penn State's defense, which was fearsome and produced many professional football players. He was told he would not be the successor to Joe Paterno, and it appears that he was told to retire in exchange for the university's silence on this issue. He was never prosecuted, even though reports of his activities began to surface prior to his retirement in 1999 at the age of 55. There are some who suggest that his proclivities were known by others within the college coaching fraternity. I mean, the fact is that age 55 is very young for a college coach, especially one who's been as successful as Sandusky had been, to retire. Even if Penn State said, you're not going to succeed Joe Paterno, there were probably, one would assume, many other college programs that would have said, oh, the guy who did the defense for Penn State's, you know, prominent football program, yes, come and be our head coach.
Yes.
And no such offers were forthcoming. The disturbing part is that while he was coaching at Penn State, Sandusky created a foundation to aid, to help troubled youth called the Second Mile. And it appears that while some troubled young men and boys were helped by this program, it was also used, and perhaps principally used, by Jerry Sandusky as...
were helped, and he helped himself.
Yes, his own playground.
Harem?
Yes, for boys as young as 10 and 11 years old. And the stories that are... And you can find it if you Google it. We're not going to link to it in the show notes, but you can find it if you want to by Googling the grand jury report. Details what he did, and there are incidents, accusations of rape and other improper activities that were never prosecuted. One interesting fact that came out this week was that the former district attorney for Center County, Pennsylvania, a gentleman named Gricar, G-R-I-C-A-R, disappeared in April of 2005. Now, he declined to press charges, even though some of these accusations were brought to his attention back in 1998, 1999. He declined to press charges against Sandusky. He disappeared in 2005. His body has never been found. He was declared dead last year.
That's very strange.
It is strange. There is a rumor going about now, and this is unsubstantiated, so please take this as unsubstantiated rumor, but there is a rumor going about that Sandusky may have used the Second Mile, the boys in the Second Mile, and pimped them out to wealthy donors to the university. But again, that is an unsubstantiated rumor.
Oh, I hope that is not true. I would love for none of this to be true. But sadly, it looks like at least part of these things, these allegations, may be proven true.
Well, Coach Sandusky was finally indicted this past week, which is why this story finally came to light.
He was arrested this weekend.
Yes. Finally came to light after 12 years. 12 years after these accusations began, well, after his retirement,
yes.
Which, again, and this is trying to read between the lines, may have been the result of these accusations coming to the attention of Coach Paterno and others within the Penn State University administration. So it's already cost the university president his job. It's cost Joe Paterno his job.
And possibly his legend.
And possibly his legacy. Because Joe Paterno is a legendary figure in college football. He's been coaching there since 1966. He's 84 years old. One of the winningest coaches in the history of college football. And, you know, he has coached his last football game because of this scandal and the way he proceeded from it. And sadly, I think the young man, the graduate assistant, McCreary, who was perhaps intimidated about seeing a coach that he played for, because McCreary was a football player at Penn State.
I know. You and I have had this discussion, and you're trying to take the side of those people who are you know, really trying to put themselves in his place and understand, okay, this is a hero.
I'm not defending his actions,
I know,
just trying to understand it.
Oh, no, I completely understand that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have worked in that capacity before. I have worked with men and women that I admire very much who have mm-hmm. been my instructors. But I got to tell you, had I found, and of course, the difference is that I was in that capacity as an older student.
Yeah.
But had I come in and found any of my superiors in doing activities like that, I would have decked them with the nearest chair, and I would have taken that kid to the hospital ASAP.
Right, sure.
And that person would have been in the clinker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the university may well have found a way to cover it up and disgraced me and kicked me out. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
You're answering to a higher authority.
Exactly.
Yeah. At the end of the day, at the end of life,
yes,
you're going to have to look back, and this young man will have to look back and say, you know,
is it possible that many children were abused because I didn't
stop him then in 1998 or 1999?
Yes,
exactly. Recently, the group that I sing with, the Barbershop Chorus here in Central Illinois, participated. We sponsor annually a Youth and Harmony Festival where a couple hundred high school students from around East Central Illinois, Western Indiana, come together and learn about singing a cappella harmony. But before we participated in this event, we volunteers who were there had to go through a 1 hour training session. Now, you know, 1 hour, what is that? But I mean, at least it basically laid it out very clearly and said, if you see anything, you know, A, intervene,
mm-hmm.
B, call it to the attention of the superiors who then have a responsibility to contact law enforcement.
Well, let me tell you, here's the thing. When I went to school in the 90s, that's when this happened. 2002. So mm-hmm. it wasn't that we know for a fact that in the late 80s there was a change, a manifest change that took place on campuses all across the nation, that suddenly sexual abuse rules came into play.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were the witness to anything, you were supposed to call the local police. You were supposed to always report it. And the fact that to me, that even indicts this graduate assistant all the more.
Yeah.
He didn't commit the act, but he could have stopped it then and there. Or at the very least, done his best and knew in his conscience today that he tried.
Yep.
So, I'm sorry, but going to his father and then going
to Joe
Paterno.
Yeah, to say, Dad, what should I do? Right.
Yeah.
An immediate intervention was called for there. And sadly, this is where the enemy, and I'm talking now in spiritual terms, wants to destroy the innocence of children, because by damaging those kids, the likelihood is that those ripples from these incidents will spread out and touch many aspects of their lives, their relationships with future spouses, with children perhaps, mm-hmm. with other children. And by damaging them, they, just as in the pedophile priest scandals, you take a someone who's in a position of authority and destroy the faith that these children have in those authority figures, leading them to question, you know, what kind of a good God can allow such horrible things to happen to children in this world? And I think that's why the enemy makes such a target of children. Why we see things like the pedophile priest scandals, like the Franklin cover-up,
mm-hmm.
And like this story, which is equally horrifying to the things that we read about and heard about, connected with the Roman Catholic Church, with the Franklin Credit Union, with the Hosanna Church down in Louisiana, things mm-hmm. like that. It's horrific, and I think the enemy targets children specifically for that reason.
Oh, they really do, and I know that's something that Christians, and many of you are, you know, you're thinking, oh gosh, I've had that happen to me. Someone has come up to me and said, how can mm-hmm. you possibly believe in this God? Because so many awful things happen. If he's really a loving God, well, he's a just God. He is so different from you and I,
mm-hmm.
because we are fallen in our natures. And my question is, why does anything good ever happen?
If
we don't deserve anything.
Right. If there is no, you know, for skeptics, from the skeptical point of view, then, you know, we would respond, if there is no God, then why would we expect good things at all?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you want to just take it down to the old, you know, evolutionary question, which I had to deal with so much in school, is why does anything ever happen with that is considered, quote unquote, altruistic? In other words, why would I do something that doesn't benefit me
mm-hmm.
and is nice? You know, why would I do a kind act to you? because my biological imperative is to look after me.
That's right.
And look after my kids because they are carrying my genetic information. And why on earth should I do anything that helps you do the same?
Exactly. That is Darwinian.
It's dog eat dog.
That's Darwinian evolution in a nutshell.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, to shift gears here.
Honey, you're shifting gears over there.
Well, you've provided a perfect setup here for a transition.
Really? I'm so glad.
That it was announced on Friday.
Because I love you and you're really cute.
That the production company that came out with... The movie version of Ayn Rand's or Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand.
And I've heard it pronounced Ayn, too.
I've heard it Ayn Rand more often, but
we'll call it Ayn. Regardless of what she said, it's Ayn to us.
A-Y-N. That's why it's so
difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her novel, which has been elevated to almost scripture status by some of her objectivist followers, Atlas Shrugged. There was a movie that was released earlier this year, Atlas Shrugged Part 1, and the production company, Atlas Productions, has announced that it must replace more than 100,000 title sheets appearing in the DVD and Blu-ray editions in retail outlets across America. The reason is that the movie's synopsis says, quote, Ayn Rand's timeless novel of courage and self-sacrifice comes to life. This is irony.
No.
Yes.
Speaking of dog eat dog.
Exactly. Because Ayn Rand's objectivist worldview, which is atheist, warns against the dangers of self-sacrifice. Ayn Rand was all about rational self-interest. That's
what
she called
it. I got mine. Get your own.
Exactly. Or in other words, or to put it another way, do unto others and do it quick before they can do it to you.
Yeah. Which, you know, her title is perfect for what she's saying. Because, you know, this old mythological picture of Atlas the god holding up the world on his shoulders. You know, she's saying those with a lot of money, the industrialists, are the ones holding up the rest of us.
That's right.
And we're sick of it, they say.
Yeah.
What's the name of the main character? John something?
John Galt.
John Galt.
Yeah. So anyway, Atlas Shrugged recalled because
someone
in the marketing department at the production company obviously didn't watch the film, read the book, or check the cliff notes. So kind
just
of funny.
Made it up as he was going along.
But it gets back to what you said before, the Darwinian imperative. The only rational worldview for an atheist, if you believe that there is no external omnipotent judge of right and wrong, your only logical worldview is to get whatever you can without getting caught. You weigh the cost and benefit of cheating or lying or stealing.
In which case, we can say nothing about this Penn State scandal if that were indeed how our lives were based, if there were no spiritual aspect to humanity.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, Jerry Sandusky was acting in rational self-interest.
Well, that's what the NAMBLA members believe.
That's right. North American Man Boy Love Association. That's what they would argue, surely.
I wonder if Sandusky is a member.
Don't know. They have no idea.
I'm sure that will come out eventually.
If he is, yeah, I suspect so. So anyway, that's, you know, interesting little segue there into the whole Atlas shrug thing. Meanwhile, the Middle East continues to look...
East shrugged.
Yeah, is really on edge. There was... a couple of interesting developments this week. Perhaps disturbing is a better adjective than interesting. The Arab League has kicked out Syria over Syria's continuing brutal repression of protesters.
Yeah. Apparently, Assad has called for an emergency meeting of the Arab League to plead his case.
Yeah, this would... seem to lay the groundwork for a military intervention by other outside forces, or perhaps by the Arab League itself. The only ones within the Arab League who objected were, of course, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq. Interesting.
Well, I read Iraq, but that you know, I would have expected. Is Iran a member of the Arab League?
No, because Iranians aren't Arabs.
Oh, that's right. They're Persians.
Yes. I made the mistake of calling a fellow student in college who was Iranian, an Arab, and he was very quick to point out, we are not. We are Persian.
Well, you know, in fact, I did something similar with a friend back at the School of Optometry who is Iranian, and he said no, the same thing. And he said, in fact, the entire European civilization has us to thank, because all of your roots come back to us.
Indo-Aryan languages.
Yeah.
Yeah. And gosh, who was it? Kind of embarrassing to admit that it was only within the last year or so that I learned that Persia only became Iran after the rise of Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Iran in Farsi means land of the Aryans. Duh. This of course is tied to the ongoing drumbeat of war regarding Iran and its nuclear ambitions. And on yesterday, November 12th, there were a couple of explosions at Iranian Revolutionary Guard bases.
Mm-hmm.
There was a rumor floated by Debka, which is the Israeli news source, that...
Speculation. I don't know that they're really... Do they have some sort of evidence?
Well, I think they say later that these were rumors that were floating around Tehran. There was a follow-up article. Their initial report indicated that... a top nuclear physicist was killed in one of these blasts, which might have been related to a botched attempt to load a nuclear warhead on top of a Shahab 3 missile. Now, later they said this was a rumor that had floated around Tehran.
Well, let me tell you what Tehran is now saying about that. They are saying that that was an attempted assassination.
And it wouldn't be the first one inside Iran,
I'm sure.
No,
it would not.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to discern truth in this situation because there is a war of words taking place. In addition, there's a cyber war taking place. Mm-hmm. And there may be a physical on the ground and in the air war taking place all too soon. In fact, you and I were listening to, I think it was television. Someone said, we were watching one of, I think it was QVC. I love the shopping channel. I do.
The hosts are friendly, yeah.
They're nice. But I love to watch the cooking shows. But we were watching, and someone called in, and she was talking about buying something for her, I think her daughter, whose husband, or no, her son, was going to be coming home for Christmas. And that's why she was buying this gift, that he's been in the NATO offices in Italy.
Right, right.
And I looked at you and I said, well, I hope he actually does get to come home for Christmas, because the way things are going right now, a very quick activation of anyone in NATO could take place.
Mm-hmm. So those are the developments this weekend.
Well, there's another story. In fact, a couple of stories. One of them is, it's a story and a report that's coming out. Again, a war of words. Can you really believe any of these reports?
Mm-hmm.
Some are coming from the Fars News Agency, which, of course, is in Iran. And they're going to have an Iranian spin. If you look at Press TV, again, Iranian spin. If you look at Korean news agencies, they are probably spinning things as according to what the West wants them to say. One of the stories is coming out of Korea, and it's claiming that North Korean, it's now known that North Korean scientists have been working in Iran. Mm. That's been a rumor for a while, for a couple of years. Korean news agency is now claiming, indeed, we know for a fact that they are working in Iran. Now, remember, the IAEA just came out with a report that Iran is indeed trying to make a nuclear weapon.
Mm-hmm. And it was the Syrian facility that was bombed by Israel a couple of years mm-hmm. back that was believed to have been built by North Korean nuclear engineers,
yes.
nuclear scientists. So, there's just a lot going on there and not a whole lot of clear and well-documented information, although it does appear that Iran's top missile expert, not nuclear physicist, I'm sorry, top missile expert was among those killed at one of the blasts in Iran. And it was just a couple hours after those blasts, those explosions, that the Arab League kicked out Syria. And they recommended, interestingly enough, that other members of the Arab League withdraw their diplomats from Damascus.
Hmm.
At least until the...
There was a huge demonstration in downtown Damascus. I don't know if it was today, but it was over the weekend, in support of Assad. Yeah. I don't know if it was orchestrated by the military there. That country, according to what we are told here in the West, and again, war of words, what can you believe, is very tightly run by mm-hmm. the Assad family. this area that has been the main section of northern Syria on the border with Turkey, this area that has been protesting mm-hmm. against the government, that 3,500 people there have been killed. 3,500. Imagine if Obama had killed 3,500 people.
Yeah. We wouldn't cotton to that too well here.
No,
yeah.
We wouldn't. Well, you know, we can get into that in a minute. But Assad is following in his father's footsteps, because this very same region, he wiped out an entire city mm-hmm. when they tried to oppose him. He just wasn't a few each day. He just went in and wiped them out.
Hmm.
So this is a nation that has been living, even though it's claimed they've been given a lot of freedoms. No, this is a fascist government.
Yeah.
He's a dictator.
And, well, you know, other bits and pieces of news coming out this week from the region. The UK believes that Israel will attack Iran possibly by the end of December. So there could be some real fireworks taking yeah. place there, not just the ones which were large enough. Again, you know, at least 32 confirmed dead, according to Iranian news sources.
Well, there's another story
over the weekend.
There's another story that you put up at PID Newswall. By the way, if you have not liked the PID Newswall at Facebook, we highly recommend you do, because that's where we put most of the stories that we are going to talk about mm-hmm. on our weekly show. Also, PIDnews.com is a wonderful place for just a long list of headlines in various topic areas. You know, if you just want to look at the day's news mm-hmm. frankly, in the topic areas that we discuss all the time, exopolitics, UFOs, the military news, Israel, what's going on in the Middle East, the U.S. news. Take a look at that, because all those headlines are there. It's a wonderful news feed. I go there every day.
Yeah, Sharon set it up. We had been posting there, and just because of changes taking place in the internet regarding intellectual property, we figured that if newspapers, news outlets are willing to put the little Facebook like link mm-hmm. on
yeah,
their
exactly.
stories and allow us to, so we'll just set that up as a page at Facebook. So, because it's not likely they're going to come after us for the little excerpts that they're allowing
exactly.
Facebook to post.
The excerpts
but
are ones that are controlled by them.
Right. But the PIDnews.com website is where Sharon has posted put together a number of news aggregators that pull news, a variety of news sources together mm-hmm. from different sources and, you know, put them in categories.
Exactly, which is why I go there myself every
right.
day. I don't actually have the headlines. It's a surprise to me every day what's there.
It's constantly updated, and it's in a variety of categories, so you can get a quick read on what's happening. And again, it's a dynamic news site, because these aggregators will update every time these mm-hmm. news sources post something that fits into these categories.
Exactly.
So,
it's good.
PIDnews.com and, of course, the PID News Wall at Facebook.
Yeah, like us. The story that you put up just before we went, came down here to the bunker.
Went to press.
Went, you know, waved through all those wonderful wet cloths that were hanging from the ceilings. No, I'm not making fun of you. That was a wonderful suggestion, actually.
Yes.
And I do something similar in the wintertime. I often will put some sort of little steamy, mm-hmm. you know, pot full of wonderful cinnamon and cloves and things like that on the stove so that steam gets in the air, because you do need to humidify your house. But anyway, this is an article that is about a company that we discussed a year or two ago called mm-hmm. SIGA.
Yeah, SIGA. When you first said SIGA is back, I thought, what, you know it's Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yes. I know. You said, oh, he is.
But SIGA Technologies is a company that's producing a drug, an anti-smallpox drug, not a vaccine, but an antiviral. And to give you an idea of how the media is responding to this, this is interesting, because we conservatives like to think that the media is always slanted towards liberals and Democrats. But I've got to say that the mainstream media has really been pounding on President Obama.
They've been slicing and dicing him for a while now. Yeah.
Yeah. But the headline for this article, which comes from Forbes. Now, Forbes, of course, is more conservative leaning. Steve Forbes ran for Republican nomination for president a couple of times ago. But the headline is bizarre smallpox drug deal. Obama administration's next Solyndra, which, of course, is the solar panel company.
The boondoggle.
Yes. The administration loaned $500 million to, just, you know, in time to let them build a plant and then go bankrupt. Apparently, they're trying to put together a $433 million deal to buy this drug, which is unproven and may not even be needed.
Yeah.
Now, what possible benefit could there be to this? According to the Health and Human Services, we've got enough smallpox vaccine to vaccinate everybody in the country.
Yeah. Well,
and smallpox is supposed to be eradicated.
It's supposed to have been eradicated. Exactly. Well, there are two reasons for this. Either it is indeed a thank you to the people who have supported him and will continue to support him, he hopes, through his next run for, his second term. Or the administration maybe knows something we don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Smallpox could be used in biowarfare.
Well, that's very true. And it's possible that somebody has brought
it's been used in biowarfare before.
Mm-hmm.
Way back when.
Oh, yeah.
With the old blankets.
The colonists gave the blankets to the Native Americans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know what? It was just going back and using the search function at PIDradio.com, which is kind of a cool way to check for old stories. We talked about this almost a year ago to the day.
Oh, did we?
It was November 12th of 2010 that we talked about this story.
We missed the anniversary yesterday.
Yeah. But the man behind this company is a man named Ron Perelman, mm-hmm. P-E-R-E-L-M-A-N, not to be confused with actor Ron Perelman, whom yeah. we like. The company, he was perhaps best known, his holding company owns Revlon.
Mm-hmm.
He's also been married about five times, including once to actress Ellen Barkin, which is kind of interesting.
That is odd.
But nobody seems to understand quite why. I mean, the government itself, or at least elements within the government, have said, we don't think we really need this, and we don't know. It's not been tested on humans, because in order to test it on humans, you'd have to infect humans with smallpox first. And they're not going to do that. So there have been successful animal trials.
That we know of.
That we know of, yeah.
That we know of. Because let's face it, what better population to test any antiviral or any agent on than the military?
Well,
they have to submit to any shot you give them. The other one
But again, this is not a vaccine. This is an antiviral.
I know. What I'm saying is, yes, you have to give them the disease first.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
You get
Understood.
Any kind of captive population, and these tests could have taken place already. We don't know that they didn't.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good point.
If they haven't, perhaps they will soon.
Hmm.
So we'll keep an eye, out for stories about smallpox.
Yeah.
Put smallpox in your Google search engine, and it will email you stories automatically that contain the word smallpox.
Yeah. And again, besides Forbes, the LA Times and other major media sources are reporting on this story. The headline at LA Times isn't quite as slanted, perhaps, as the headline at Forbes, but they do, the headline reads, cost and need questioned in $433 million smallpox drug deal. So who benefits from this drug deal? The
but
Forbes
if smallpox
article,
were to break out in the United States, Obama could come up and say, am I not, prescient or something?
Sure. The interesting thing about the Forbes article is that it's not just the need, it's the way the government went about awarding this contract or pushing this contract through to SIGA Technologies, because they first, when they put out the bid, they limited the bid list to companies with a maximum of 50 employees and say, okay, SIGA Technologies wins. Well, another company came up and said, wait a minute, we can make this drug too. And by your own definition, SIGA Technologies is disqualified because they have more than 50 employees. So the government, you had to go back and say, oh, yeah, you're right. Well, okay. Every company that is not SIGA Technologies is disqualified from bidding for this. That's essentially how it went down. They basically laid it out.
No-bid contract.
Essentially a no-bid contract. Yeah. They designed the contract so that it had a bid list of one, which is SIGA Technologies, owned by this Perelman, who has donated quite a bit of money to the Democratic Party. According to the author of the Forbes article, who used to work for Perelman, he said Perelman has also donated a lot of money to Republicans too. So it's not clear that this is a quid pro quo for something. We just don't really know, which is why these articles have come out. We're not sure why they're bidding to create a drug to eradicate a disease that the World Health Organization says has already been eradicated. Bioterror, perhaps, but we don't know that this drug is even going to work. So what's really going on here? Is it just another way for the government to funnel money to somebody So anyway,
why would the government ever do that? Gasp.
Well, governments are known for doing lots of crazy things. You know, the folks in Europe, if you're listening in Europe, you should understand by now, if you hadn't already, by the actions of this past week, that the European Union is a dictatorship. We haven't really talked about this much here in the United States, but when you look at what's happened over there over the last couple of weeks, the European Union has forced unelected changes of government in two European nations, Greece and now Italy.
Mm-hmm. And the new guy in charge of Italy, is he an insider extraordinaire?
Yeah, Mario Monti has been asked to form a new government. Silvio Berlusconi has stepped down. He is the European chairman of the Trilateral Commission. And I think that means it's time for another interview with Patrick Wood of the August Review, because the leading researcher into the Trilateral Commission and its influence that I'm aware of.
He's also on the steering committee of the Bilderberg
Group. Yes, he is. Steering committee of the Bilderberg Group. So, by the way, he's also an international advisor to Goldman Sachs, which doesn't hurt either.
Oh.
But the guy who is taken over as the new prime minister in Greece after Papandreou stepped down.
Mm-hmm. Also Trilateral Commission.
Trilateral Commission, exactly. And again, these changes of government were not, the people of Italy didn't say, hey, we want a new government, or Greece, they didn't say we want a new government,
in fact,
although
the people
many of them
Greece
did.
Greece wanted an opportunity to say no.
To vote on that referendum, yes.
And the referendum was denied.
Yes, and somebody said something quietly, say, Papandreou, we know where the bodies are buried, or whatever, or we know where your body will be buried. And so Papandreou has stepped down, and Trilateral Commission member now taking over in Greece, member of the Trilateral Commission taking over, forming a new government in Italy, and the European Central Bank, and those calling the shots behind the scenes.
We've still got Ireland, Portugal, and Spain.
Yeah. Forcing
and France.
Well, yeah,
the word
is that
France is looking a little shaky.
The banks in France, which invested heavily in these shaky sovereign wealth funds of these other nations, are really on
Sarkozy,
the
hook. You need to play ball.
Yeah. The Germans are essentially reforming they're forming the Fourth Reich through sort of behind the scenes economic pressure. It is unbelievable what's happening over there.
Mm-hmm.
The banksters are winning the day, and we're just over here how'd the Bears do today? You know,
well, they won.
Yeah, which is good. I think here in the United States, we need to be aware that we are not immune for this kind of pressure, because as we've seen, we had a couple of bank bailouts kind of ram down our throats against our will. Well, the bank bailout and the car bailout and the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac bailout. So
they're still being bailed out. They're still getting money.
Asking for more money. So anyway, the changes in Europe taking place, and again, the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderberg Group and the Goldman Sachs cabal strengthening control over the financial dealings of our European friends. What else do we want to talk about here?
I know I've talked about this before, but it just came to mind, so I'm going to say it. If you've never seen the movie Eyes Wide Shut,
mm-hmm.
It's got some very disturbing scenes, but you learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's more truth behind that movie than we'd like to admit.
According to Stockholm News, and I don't know much about this website, it is online news in English from Sweden, but as far as we know, this could be...
I think that's actually a legit site.
Yeah, I'm checking this really quickly. This is also a story posted at the PID News wall at Facebook. Stockholm News, based in Stockholm. Who are these guys? Looks like most important Swedish news in English. So, we'll post a link to the article so you can judge for yourself. But they're reporting the detection of radioactive dust over a number of nations in Europe, not just Sweden, but also Germany,
Poland,
Austria,
Denmark. Germany, Austria. Sweden, Hungary, Czech Republic, Slovakia.
Mm-hmm. And the source of this radioactive dust apparently is unknown. The concentrations, according to the article, are low, do not pose a public health risk. It's the isotope iodine-131.
Yeah, the reason I think that this is legit is because the story at the Stockholm News site links to the press release from the IAEA.
That's right, it does. And there is a link there. So we'll tell you what, we'll link to the IAEA press release, which is dated Friday, November 11th.
11-11.
Yeah. And this is based on information from the State Office for Nuclear Safety of the Czech Republic that low levels of iodine-131 have been measured in their atmosphere.
Now, the IAEA has, in the report, said that the levels aren't high enough to really bother anybody. But what I find interesting is that these trace levels of iodine-131, which is 13 and 13 backwards,
yes.
131, that they're claiming that they don't know the source, and it is not, they say, Fukushima.
Right. Also, it's got a very short half-life. Iodine-131 is a half-life of 8 days, so whatever the source is, it had to be something fairly recent.
Very recent, especially since this 11-11-11 report says that the countries that have noticed it had been noticing it for the past few days.
Hmm.
So this is an event that had to have occurred within the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. So just an interesting little tidbit of news coming from Europe that doesn't relate to Italy or Greece.
Well, here's another story that doesn't relate to either of those. Let me just scroll down to this. Canada's Loch Ness Monster caught on tape.
This caught my eye at...
And it should have.
Yahoo, because this was the subject of one of the episodes of The X-Files, Ogopogo.
Yeah.
According to a
Mulder finally got him.
Yeah. A man visiting Lake Okanagan videoed what he thought could only be the monster, a couple of trails left in the water that were going against the direction of the waves. So, according to cryptozoologists, Ogopogo is the Canadian version of the Loch Ness Monster.
The Loch Ness Monster.
So,
I want to just cover a story really quickly that I posted to the PID News Wall a few days ago. If I can get it to come up here. Why aren't you coming up? That's very strange. Hold on, let me click on this story one more time. It has to do with the remains of soldiers returning from deployment that have been killed.
Yes.
And their ashes being dumped. Yeah, here it finally came up. Dover mortuary landfill dumping. Congressman has asked the Pentagon to look into this practice. He asked them in September to take a look at this practice. Acting on behalf of a constituent whose husband was killed in Iraq and was prepared for burial by the Dover mortuary, the congressman, Rush Holt, said he sent a letter to Leon Panetta on September 16th asking for clear and definitive answers about the mortuary's landfill practices. Holt said he had raised the issue a few months earlier with the Pentagon's Legislative Affairs Office, but was frustrated by a failure to get a full response. We just had Veterans Day, for goodness sake.
Yes.
We need to respect and support our military men and women as much as possible and their
yes.
families. And when one of them, and a story just came out, forgive me, I'm getting on the soapbox, but a story came out about a week ago about a young man who was killed on his 9th deployment. His 9th deployment.
Mm-hmm.
For goodness sake, why are they being sent over 9 times? It's almost as if the government is saying, keep going back. No, you're still alive. Go again.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're alive, you have to serve our cause. Well, when they do give their lives, they should be given every honor possible when that body is returned. And if cremated body parts are being dumped in a landfill, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
And embarrassing. And I'm just out of words here.
That's the height of disrespect. And
it is clearly
not the way our veterans are, well, those who sacrificed everything, and these body parts may not have been from victims who were deceased. I mean, these may be from amputees who were injured in the line of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan. But regardless of how this happened, it is a disgrace. It is
yes.
a national disgrace.
Well, now that I've said my piece.
Yeah. A couple of other quick headlines to mention. Again, all of these linked at the PID News Wall at Facebook. a story that we heard about first from Russ Dizdar posting it to the internet from thesmokinggun.com. A couple of young women in Milwaukee were arrested earlier this week for a stabbing an 18-year-old man about 300 times in what was apparently a satanic sex ritual. Now, this young man traveled to Wisconsin by bus from Arizona to meet up with these young ladies.
Not an entirely innocent young man, then. He probably had something in mind to make that trip.
Yes, he did. But the young man apparently managed to get away after spending a couple of days bound. And
they must not have been going very deeply into his, you know, flesh if he was...
Survived 300 stab wounds, yes. Clearly.
Just enough to draw blood?
Right. Anyway, yeah, medical personnel estimated the number of wounds in excess of 300. He told police that after arriving at the home of a woman he met online, he was bound and stabbed numerous times over a time frame as what he described as 2 days. He managed to get away. Officers responding to the call after he was noticed by somebody. Wounds to his back, face, arms, legs, and neck. Officers responded, discovered bloody duct tape, bloody length of rope, and a bloody trail that led to the apartment on the third floor of this particular building, where police spotted a large amount of blood on the floor and on bedding in a bedroom, at which point they were approached by a young woman who stated, "I think you are looking for me."
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they've got pictures posted at thesmokinggun.com. Regardless of how they look, the fact is that they were clearly doing something that they expected the bloodletting to benefit them in some way. And apparently, again, a satanic sex ritual.
Good heavens.
So, a very disturbing and dark world out there. But it has been so since man opted to believe the lie that ye shall be as gods.
Yeah.
And it leads a sort of a transition to a talk about the interview that I'll be doing a little later this evening.
And a book you've been reading the last couple of days.
Yeah. Was sent an email a couple of days ago by Brian Gadawa, who was interviewed on A View from the Bunker.
And he was kind enough to send us a PDF preview copy.
Yes, a Kindle version, actually. Of his new novel, which is called Noah Primeval. Now, I talked to him.
So it's available now.
It is available now at Amazon.com. And we had interviewed some months ago about how to view the culture around us, film, TV, graphic novels, and so on. How as Christians, we try to filter that stuff out through a Christian worldview. And, you know, Brian is qualified to talk about this because he's an award-winning scriptwriter. He wrote the script for a film that, of course, I have forgotten
Kiefer
the name
Sutherland.
Of. Yeah, starred Robert Carlyle and Kiefer Sutherland. So I'll look this up here in a moment. But anyway, he's a professional scriptwriter. To End All Wars, that was the name of the movie.
Oh, yes.
To End All Wars. He told me then that he had a project in the works, and he was consulting with Dr. Michael Heiser for background on the project.
You know, now that you mention that, I remember that.
Yeah. And of course, that got my attention because Mike Heiser has been very influential on our view, on helping us to understand the Old Testament narrative especially, but our worldview in general. You know, his research into the divine council. So what Brian has written is a fresh look at the story of Noah and the ark from the standpoint of the divine council. It is not your Sunday school Noah.
And the title?
The title is Noah Primeval.
Ooh.
Yeah. And, you can see he writes with
From ear to ear because I love that title.
It's a very visual. In fact, you can find it on the web at noahprimeval.com. Noahprimeval.com. And he's got some covers there for other perhaps future works based on Noah Primeval. He's got what could be a movie poster, what could be a.
He's a graphic designer.
He's a graphic designer.
And an artist.
Yes.
He is.
And a good one.
Really good.
Yeah. The book is I've read the novel. It's a great action. He takes a lot of creative license, but he doesn't overstep what we know from the Bible about the story of Noah. He fills in a lot of the gaps because really there's not much that we know about Noah. Most of us think of the kindly, grandfatherly, white bearded, bald guy, or, you know, white bearded guy with a, you know, from Sunday school.
But you know what? If you are, and as you told me, this is probably aimed at, you know, a younger reader, mm-hmm. A young reader, someone like the young man who was speaking this morning.
Yes.
At our church, reading a book like that and then getting excited if he's a non-Christian or sort of nominal and saying, mm-hmm. you know what? Hey, this Noah guy, isn't he in the Bible?
Yes. Yeah. And these other guys who are mentioned in the novel, like Tubal Cain and Methuselah and
Lamech.
Enoch mm-hmm. are all mentioned in there. And of course, he brings in the archangels Uriel, Raphael, Michael, brings in the Sumerian gods who were, in fact, fallen angels like Enki and Enlil and Anu and Inanna.
I can't wait to read this. Yeah. I really can't.
So,
I'm going to go read it right now.
It is a wait till at least we finish the show. It is a very visual style of writing, which is like yours, in that when I read the story, I can picture the action in my mind, and I can see that he's got his scriptwriter's chops working because the characters will translate to the screen very easily. Mike Heiser, in the recommendation for the novel, compares it to Lord of the Rings, in that he is mythologizing, remythologizing the Bible.
Yeah, because the Bible, because it is very bare bones, mm-hmm. is oftentimes considered to be pretty dry.
Yes.
Because we have, especially young people, they have a tremendous appetite for very visually stimulating reading, mm-hmm. like The Lord of the Rings.
Yes. And
as do I. I love books like that.
And Noah Primeval gives you that. And when you go to the website, noahprimeval.com, he's got links, and he's got, again, some graphic treatments that would lend itself for promotional material for a future graphic novel, video game, movie, so forth. And I liked Mike's description of the novel as his comparison to Lord of the Rings, because the way he draws the characters of Methuselah and Tubal Cain. Of course, Tubal Cain was supposed to be the one who first learned the art of metalworking. Mm-hmm. So, okay, he was a blacksmith. Mm-hmm. Big, burly guy.
Well, the name really Cain strong. Is thought to mean smith.
Okay. So you've got Tubal Cain and you've got Methuselah. Picture Tubal Cain as Gimli from Lord of the Rings and Methuselah as Legolas. And the sort of rivalry that the two of them had. And that's an idea of how their characters are portrayed.
Is there a saber-toothed dachshund involved?
Noah Primeval. No, there are creatures even more fearsome if you can imagine. Yes. Leviathan and Behemoth make appearances.
My goodness.
Yeah, it really is something. So I'll talk to Brian Godawa about that, and that interview will be posted late tonight, November 13th.
Because you're not speaking. You haven't done that yet.
No, we're going to be talking here in about an hour and a half, and that will be posted later tonight, November 13th, at vftb.net.
Yeah.
And so we'll get into the whole Divine Council
thing. Is
the clock
behind you wrong? Is it an hour fast?
It is an hour fast, yes.
Okay, because I was going to say, it looks like it's 8:36 now.
No, I didn't reset that one. So, but anyway, yeah, I highly recommend the novel. And again, you can look it up at Amazon.com. It's available in Kindle version. And if you don't have a Kindle ebook reader, you can download the Kindle reader for your PC or your iPad or iPod, or even if you've got a Droid tablet. There are all kinds of ways you can read it without having to have a Kindle reader. So,
well, sadly, as I do look at this clock, whether it's an hour fast or not, it does tell me that we've gone almost 60 minutes.
We're nearing the close.
Oh, no!
And Sam must really be out of it because he
didn't signal us.
No.
We depend upon him.
So
he's
again,
alarm clock.
Next week we'll be away from.
There's a possibility that it may not be a lousy, you know, clip show that you hear on Sunday. That we actually may put up a fresh one. It all depends. Derek won't be returning home until very late on Thursday night, and if he has any energy on Friday,
perhaps maybe we can do a show a day early.
Perhaps we can do a show on Friday and post that up for the weekend.
Hadn't even thought about that because we're not leaving until after
Saturday.
That, so. Very good. Well, regardless of when we post the next show, until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out.